Forget for a moment everything you know about the presidency. Dismiss all the familiar trappings. The White House, the Oval Office, the Rose Garden, and the podium with the presidential seal. The commander-in-chief bounding down the steps of Air Force One to be greeted by adorable flower girls, or tossing a salute to generals, their chests dripping with medals. Forget Camp David weekends and motorcades with Secret Service guys in Ray-Bans talking into their wristwatches. Set aside the awesome powers of the job. Take away the football, that legendary briefcase that holds the nuclear launch codes that can obliterate the planet. Shut the doors on the cabinet. Now chuck out your notions of how long the chief executive serves, or how America's president gets elected. Dismiss more than 200 years of images of inaugurals and ceremonial wreath-laying. Toss it all into the dustbin of history. Okay, now sit down with your yellow pad and pencil and try this question or challenge on for size. How would you remake the presidency? Would you make the job more or less powerful? Would you split the job up for two or three people to manage? How long should a president serve? And most important, who should choose the president? The men who sweated in secret meetings during a steamy Philadelphia summer to create the American Constitution and reinvent the government of the United States of America faced exactly that challenge and those questions. What they came up with, sometimes by default, was a job and an office that most of them, we can probably assume, would now agree is not exactly what they had in mind. A platypus, it has been said, is a duck designed by a committee. Perhaps the same thing can be said about the American president, a novel idea cooked up behind locked doors and sealed windows in the summer of 1787.
Who was America's first president?
There is a trick trivia question. Who was the first president of the United States? The obvious answer, George Washington. But the correct answer is John Hanson of Maryland. Or is it really Peyton Randolph of Virginia? Both of these men, now largely obscure in American history, were presidents of the United States. When the delegates to the Constitutional Convention arrived in Philadelphia in May 1787, they had come ostensibly to revise the ineffective Articles of Confederation, which had governed the 13 states since the Declaration in 1776 and been adopted officially in 1781. Under the Articles, America had a president, but he was the President of the United States of America in Congress assembled. The office was essentially a ceremonial chairmanship, not to be held by one man for more than 1 year, although he could be re-elected after sitting out 2 years. These were extreme term limits that show how little power the man holding office could potentially wield. Under the Articles of Confederation, there was no chief executive, and no one functioned in an executive role. Basically, he held a gavel. This American president then lacked any of the powers associated with the president today. But as the first president elected under the Articles of Confederation, John Hanson, a merchant and patriot leader from Maryland, has often been cited as the first president, but essentially disappeared into obscurity. But even Hanson wasn't actually first. A veteran of Virginia's House of Burgesses, Peyton Randolph was elected first president of the Continental Congress in 1774. He died in 1775 before independence was declared, so he never really even lived in the United States of America. John Hancock, who was presiding over the Continental Congress in 1776, when the Declaration of Independence was adopted, could also be called the first president of the United States of America. As we know it, the office of the President of the United States was created under Article II in the Constitution, written in 1787. Before that time, Congress chose 14 other presidents. Some of their names, like Hancock, John Jay, and Richard Henry Lee, are notable or at least mildly familiar. Others are completely obscure. All were presidents, but but their powers were limited to presiding over Congress when it was in session.